It's the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
Oh, yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It is a Wisdom Wednesday, and maybe a what Wisdom Wednesday? If you haven't heard the news, we'll be talking about that quite a bit. I have no more Madden copies to give out. I'll try to get more for next year. You guys were all awesome that tried to get one. And all I can tell you is that if you ask me a question as well, I will answer that. So you'll still get the value, even if you weren't one of the lucky two that got one of the Madden copies. I only have two. Hopefully next year I can get some more. You can still win stuff from me, though, every single week just by a retweet or a retweet of at Ross Tucker NFL or at RTF Podcast or a like on Facebook, and I'll send you guys some. I'm going to send out my media credential every week. It seems like you guys seem to like that, the signed media credential. It's kind of cool, a little collector's item, something cool that literally nobody else would have. So just spread the word on social media, and you're automatically eligible for that. Speaking of the media, my Wednesday pal, Andrew Brandt, is in the media, ESPN, MMQB.com, and he always has a lot of thoughtful things to talk about. He does so on The Big Show.
The Big Show.
Andrew, I want to start with the biggest news this morning in the NFL, and that is the J.J. Watt injury. Obviously, this guy is a tremendous player. He's the franchise, all that stuff. So he has back surgery late July, comes back for the first game, and now in the third game has re-injured it. He's likely lost for the season. They're going to put him on IR. I want to know from your experience in NFL front offices, what is going on right now between the team doctors, the management, the trainers? I mean, there's got to be a lot of strange looks and finger pointing going on right now, right?
Yeah, good morning, Ross. I remember you and I had this conversation, I think with one of the Buffalo draft picks that maybe needed surgery, maybe was going to be out for the year back in the spring. And I talked about these kind of hairy eyeballs, these cross-eyed looks between management and medical, between coaching and medical. Like, wait a minute, we thought he'd be fine. We thought he was okay. We thought everything was fine. And sometimes, even though they can't do it because they're in the subservient part of the relationship, it's really from the medical staff back to management saying under their breath, you wanted him to play so bad. You wanted him out there. And again, we don't know the specifics of J.J. Watt. My immediate reaction last night was, gosh, I mean, what we said in Green Bay all the time, injuries are the bane of our existence. You're in a contact sport, a collision sport, is 100% injury rate. Hard to prepare. The reason you have so many draft picks, the reason you build up your infrastructure, the reason it's all about a pipeline of young players that you trust to fill in when there are injuries, because there will be. But this is about as big as you can get, certainly sort of non-quarterback. J.J. Watt, considered the best defensive player in the league for a period of years here. And I guess, Ross, you sort of go back to the surgery and you go back to the too-soon argument. We don't know. But when these things flare up again, you come back with, was it too soon? Is there more to it? What did we not know? How about the rehab program? Did all go well in surgery? We always hear surgery was successful. Were there any complications? Were there any issues in rehab? And with a guy like J.J. Watt, we're all asking, did he overdo it? And that can certainly be a reason for recurrence, overdoing it in rehab, coming back too fast, putting too much load on the back before it should have been. But again, from a management point of view, you have to prepare. You're not going to replace him with J.J. Watt, but you have your ready list. You have your practice squad. You have people that you want to fill in there. And you better be prepared cap-wise, too, because you're putting your biggest number on the team or second biggest on the shelf, and that's going to sit there all year.
I know you don't know this from afar, Andrew, but I'm just I gotta ask.
Yeah.
The owner, Bob McNair, who do you think that he is most frustrated with in a situation like this? The team doctor that cleared him, the trainer that was rehabbing him? Because, I mean, he's, you know, if the guy re-injured after 3 weeks, it's pretty obvious to me he came back too soon. So McNair's got to be beyond frustrated right now, right?
I would think so. Again, it's hard to – we use these words sometimes as they're commodities, but let's be honest, in some ways they are. And he has to look at his asset, his most prized asset, being mishandled. And that's too strong. It potentially being mishandled. And as you noted, it could be from doctor, it could be from medical. What was the situation with his surgery? Was it a team doctor? Was it an outside specialist? How much oversight, if he went somewhere else for surgery and came back to Houston, what was the transfer of control, if you will, of his rehab? Those are all the questions that have to be asked. The problem, Ross, is asking them in hindsight, of course, is too late. These things have to be well managed. And again, I and our doctor team always got frustrated when an agent with a mistrust of team doctors would take a player elsewhere. Usually agents have their team have their own doctor they trust to do surgeries, to do second opinions. And you wish you could get past that mistrust and just do what was best for the player, which we always thought, and again, I was biased, we always thought the best thing for the player was to have the surgery with us, have the rehab with us, monitor it all the way through. I don't even know if Watt did or didn't do that, but I assume it, with off-season surgery, he was somewhere else, and that's a tough thing to monitor.
Also wanted to ask you, Andrew, the ratings keep coming out for the NFL, and they keep not being good. And we've touched on this a little bit other weeks, but I guess I'm wondering how much of this has to do with, in your mind, the election stuff. Is any of this a reaction to the Kaepernick stuff, or is there a chance that this is kind of what Mark Cuban predicted a couple years ago about pigs get fat, but hogs get slaughtered?
I don't want to come off here as any kind of shill for the league, Ross, but I just think way, way too early to make any kind of statements like that. You throw away at least Monday night result to the debate. That's obvious. In terms of other, I think it's team specific. You know, if the Patriots are on, if the Packers are on, if the Steelers are on, you're going to have good ratings. I understand once you start looking at, well, here's what a Packers game did last year, here's what a Packers game did this year, a Steelers game, a Patriots game, they're going to, that could be some kind of impact. I guess the other point is, aren't we coming off record ratings? So to have record ratings over and over again, I think is tough. I would be interested to know, are these ratings lower than 2014, 2013? Those kind of things. And I guess the other thing, Ross, I don't think anyone's brought this up. I don't know the answer to this, but I really wonder if ratings matter. You know, if we get to a negotiation with CBS and NBC and ESPN and Fox in 2, 4, 6, 8 years, are they really going to be saying to the NFL, ah, we're not going to pay as much because of ratings? Really? When you have so many suitors and such a dearth of good TV that people watch, and new suitors coming in from the tech space, whether Twitter or Google or Facebook, whatever it's going to be, I guess my question, Ross, is, Do a drop in ratings even matter unless it's a precipitous drop coming up? I mean, I guess that's my question.
It's a really, really interesting point. Really interesting point. I also wanted to ask you, Andrew, there's been I saw at Pro Football Talk that the new NFL COO that Goodell hired is, I guess, about to give his first big presentation or something and talk about the direction of the league. I'm sure you have more information than I have just reading that headline. What can you tell us about the NFL's new COO?
Yeah, that's correct. I think it's going to be in the news for the first time he is, because we all know the NFL CEO, who is Roger Goodell, who is the public face of the league, who we see and talk and hear about virtually every day of the year. But behind the curtain is a new NFL COO. In fact, he's been there a while now. His name is Todd Lewicki. He is a former executive with the Seattle Seahawks and with the Tampa Bay soccer team. He was plucked by the league to be the COO. What does that mean? When he was hired, what I was told, Ross, is he's going to take things off of Goodell's plate that would free up Goodell for quote-unquote bigger issues. Now, before anyone jumps to conclusions, he's not taking commissioner discipline off his plate. No way. What is he taking off the plate? Management, divisional structure, infrastructure in the league. Think about the office where you work for people that are listening. Who kind of manages things? Not the outward managing, the inward managing, the internal structure. Where does PR, how are they handling things? What about finance? What about league business? Who's interfacing with the teams? How's our management council doing with the cap? Are we having the right back and forth with team executives on salary cap issues, on discipline issues? He's restructuring the league office, legal. So it's something we really haven't heard about, and we're going to see guidelines that are going to come clearer in the media soon, because he's going to be a focus of this fall league meeting. It's time to roll him out. I think all the owners know him. I think now they're going to figure out what he's doing, what's going on inside the league. So Todd Lewicki, the new NFL COO, will be front and center soon, and the league meeting's coming up in Houston in a couple weeks. He'll be really on stage.
Speaking of the business of the NFL, Andrew, I wanted to ask, what do you got this week or coming up soon on the Business of Sports podcast?
It's sort of my monthly edition, Ross, of the Brant's Rants, where I go on certain topics. And the topics du jour, as I'm sure you're talking about, are some of the surprises early in the season, certainly the Eagles and what they're doing, and they're demolishing the Steelers the other day, and the Patriots, and the value of coaching in both those teams. And sometimes we underestimate it. Sometimes people think you just need players, but coaching really matters. I'll talk about both those situations. I do talk about Lewicki, which we just talked about, and sort of looking at different situations with Raiders and Vegas, putting a sort of a rein on that parade for a moment, and what's going on with Elway and the Broncos and some of the moves he did or didn't make in the offseason.
Well, let's get into a couple of those things. Not that I don't want people to listen to the Business of Sports podcast, but start with the coaching, because I've often said, you know, playing for so many teams, so many coaches, I think coaching has a big impact in the NFL.
Well, anyone who listens to me know I was and still am an unabashed fan of Chip Kelly, and I know I was in the minority in many situations with that. But I think the Eagles have really done it again with not as much out of the box as they did with Kelly. I thought that was a great hire because there's so much institutional thinking, and I commend teams for thinking outside the box. But I think with Peterson, people didn't think it was much of a hire. I just think, listen, I was around this guy in Green Bay. He is egoless, he's humble, and he just is all football. He is all about being coach. He was our coach on the field with Brett Favre. And it's interesting, he hired himself. He signed himself with the Eagles. Chase Daniel is essentially a quarterback coach. Doug Peterson is essentially a quarterback coach. Frank Reich is essentially a quarterback coach. John DeFilippo is essentially a quarterback coach. And Chase Daniel. You've got four former present quarterbacks and all their knowledge around Carson Wentz. And Wentz obviously has a lot of skill. He has arm strength. He has mobility. He has great presence. He has good size. but he's got that coaching. He's got that infrastructure. And you can just see it working. The way they wrap this kid like a baby in a swaddle with so much experience and quarterback knowledge, it's really showing. So I just think coaching matters, and, of course, their defense with Jim Schwartz. There's a reason the Eagles are doing what they're doing, with some would say beyond a few positions like defensive line, average talent. So I just think that's quite a testament. And, of course, what Belichick's doing in New England with different quarterbacks just shows the value of that infrastructure, that continuity in New England, the way they put together game plans that take advantage of strengths and weaknesses. We watched Brissett last week do exactly what he could do and nothing more, and luckily we're able to build a lead for him. So the value of coaching, it just is expressing itself with these two teams and others as well as we get around the first part of the season.
Speaking of value, you mentioned, you talked about on the Business of Sports podcast and your Brant's Rants, you talked about John Elway. You know, I guess the one thing that struck me, Andrew, about him is like a move like starting Trevor Siemian. There's just not that many GMs, I feel like, that have the guts to do something like that. You know, I wonder how much of that is because of how much sort of equity he's already built up in that organization or in that city that allows him to do something like that that other people, you know, just wouldn't have the guts to do. They would have just went with Sanchez.
That's a great point, and I think we've seen that now for 2 years with Elway. Listen, he asked Peyton Manning for a $10 million pay cut, and he got, what, a $4 million pay cut. He said goodbye to Brock Osweiler. He sat there, and I sort of said this with you, he's sort of like a Roman emperor giving a thumbs up or thumbs down when presented with Kaepernick, when presented with Ryan Fitzpatrick, when presented with Sam Bradford before the draft. And just sort of said, I'm not paying the price, whether the price was draft price or contract price. And I thought about that comment you just made then. Like, could some other GM without the gravitas of Elway do that? He just continued to turn down quarterbacks with experience. And again, playing this Trevor Siemian and having success so far, and I'm sure he's feeling like, yeah, we had poor quarterback play last year, won the Super Bowl. We're having better quarterback play this year. We'll see what happens. I do want to call Elway on the carpet a little bit for this comment, Ross, where one of my favorite comments about the business of sports, which I've said many times, which is sometimes the deals you make, the best deals you make are the ones you don't make. And that's so true. I remember so many negotiations. We tried and tried and tried so hard to sign a player. He went elsewhere. We didn't have enough money. He wanted to go to another team. And then we watch him not perform well or not live up to the contract. And I think Elway was directing this implicitly towards Brock Osweiler. But here's the thing. They tried hard to sign Brock Osweiler. It's true, as I said, that they tried. It didn't happen. And I guess they don't think he's playing that well. But it's not like they just said, yeah, go to Houston. We're not even going to compete. They competed. Houston just went that extra mile with the extra few million or extra million a year, whatever it was. So a little bit disingenuous because they were going to pay a hefty price to keep Brock Osweiler. But after that, Ross, they really went low on quarterbacks, and so far it's working out.
Last thing, I just saw that you tweeted, Andrew, yesterday about a speaker you have coming to campus.
Yeah, those around the Philly area, I've noticed in the news, Preston Brown, coach at Woodrow Wilson High in Camden, has led his players in kneeling on all the games and all the players. Powerful story I read about him. I thought he was just kind of a mentor and talks about why they kneel and doing it in a reasoned, thoughtful way. He's going to come and speak with me. I'm going to have a sit down with him at Villanova Law School tomorrow night, Thursday night at 7 p.m. So anyone around the Philadelphia area, Villanova, 7 p.m. tomorrow night, Preston Brown, coach Woodrow Wilson High in Camden.
Awesome. That'll be interesting. Andrew, thanks for the time as always.
Always a pleasure, Ross.
Always nice to get Andrew's measured front office perspective on things, whether it's the Watt stuff or the ratings. It was interesting what he said about the ratings. I can tell you I'm a little bit concerned, but what he said about maybe it doesn't matter, maybe he's right. You know what does matter? The money that you earn on your hard-earned money. Would you rather put your money in the bank and earn less than 1% or be the bank's landlord and be paid over 6.5%? Look, money in the bank is safe. Commercial real estate has risks. It's not guaranteed. But Rich Uncle's REIT is a real estate investment trust that pools your money with other investors and rents to creditworthy tenants like Walgreens and Chase Bank. Look, basically all they do is they collect rent, distribute cash dividends out to you guys each month. Go to their website and check out Rich Uncle's REIT A Reg A Tier 2 offering for yourself. Go to richuncles.com. That's richuncles.com. Or call 855-RICH-UNCLES.
Rich Uncle's REIT is seeking indications of interest concerning its Reg A Tier 2 securities offering. Any indication of interest involves no obligation or commitment of any kind. No money or other consideration is being solicited, and if sent in response, will not be accepted. No sales will be made or commitments to purchase accepted until the offering statement is qualified. This media outlet is being paid under $2,000 by Rich Uncle's for this single message.
Tux Takes.
Hey, Ross, let's get started today with some news around the NFL that isn't injury-related. Before we dive into all of that stuff, first, Raiders cut fullback Marcel Reese. Former pass rusher Greg Hardy was arrested for cocaine possession, and 49ers lineman Anthony Davis has retired again.
The point I want to make about the Raiders cutting Marcel Reese, I think I touched on it yesterday in the power rankings, is just that this is why teams usually keep suspended guys. Because it gives you an extra roster spot, because if Olawale got hurt the first three games this year, then they'd be happy that they still had Reese. They still had his rights. That's why they usually keep guys that are suspended. Greg Hardy, not even NFL story anymore, not a surprise. He is not a good guy and unfortunately seems like his life is going down the wrong path. As for Anthony Davis, this, Bri, is why teams probably were hesitant to trade for him, why the Niners were hesitant to start him. You just couldn't have faith and trust. Who takes a year off like that? Who does that? If you can't have faith, you can't have trust in a guy, then you can't trade him and you can't start him. And all of the concerns that these teams had, and certainly the 49ers had, it all came to fruition when now he's retired again. The NFL is not for everybody. And if you're willing to sit out a whole year like he did, then you're very likely, in my mind, to retire again like he did.
Tux Takes.
In injury news, the Colts put defensive end Trent Cole on IR, and the Redskins did the same with lineman Corey Lichtensteiger and defensive back D'Angelo Hall, and signed veteran John Sullivan to replace Lichtensteiger.
Colts are really taking a lot of hits on the defensive side of the ball. Trent Cole's another one. I mean, they're already not good on defense. They really can't afford to lose guys that were helping them and making some plays for them. This is a really good spot for Sullivan to replace Lichtensteiger because the Redskins need a center with Lichtensteiger being hurt. Sullivan, very competent. He's a nice player, and he really was just out because I think the Vikings were concerned about his back issues. Kind of like what we talked about with J.J. Watt. You know, Andrew and I talked about, and I'm just going to expound on that a little bit, Bri, just in the sense that, you know, to me, the fact that he got re-injured this early necessarily means that he probably came back too soon. Now, not 100%, but probably. I mean, if he hurt that exact same disc, then they didn't give it enough time to heal. They didn't give it enough time to really rest. And now he's got a major problem. I think if you guys remember, after he had the first back surgery, I just said, I don't know many guys that ever have a back surgery and feel like they're 100%. feel like they're all the way back. I think was fortunate that first year I came back was rough. I never felt quite right. But then after that, you know, the year after that, I actually felt good enough to play and play at a decent level. But I never felt quite the same. And J.J. Watt wasn't playing quite the same the first 3 weeks this season. Now, to re-injure it, now you really get concerned about, you know, what he'll be able to do moving forward. I bet you he sits out the whole year and comes back next year, and I bet you he plays well. But I'd be surprised if he's ever quite the same Reggie White dominant-like player again. I just have a tough time believing that that will be the case. Man, I hope it is for him. But in my experience, and pretty much everybody I've talked to that's had back issues, back surgeries, it just doesn't seem really likely.
Ducks takes. More bad injury news for the Bears, who put cornerback Kyle Fuller on IR and signed running back Joique Bell to replace Jeremy Langford for the next few weeks.
If you sign Joique Bell, Bri, and you're counting on giving him some carries, that's probably when you know things aren't going that well. I mean, just to be frank. You sign Joique Bell, and that's kind of what you're leaning on. Odds are that things are not going well. No Langford's a problem. I think they'll just end up giving Jordan Howard, the rookie, more carries. Kyle Fuller. I mean, the Bears remind me on some level, Brian, what I said about the Colts, where, you know, they're not that good anyway. They're not that good on defense anyway. To be losing guys like this really, really hurts.
Ducks takes. Not transactions, but significant injury news in Cincinnati and New England, where Tyler Eifert seems poised to miss at least one game, while both Jacoby Brissett and Jimmy Garoppolo look like they're going to be good to go on Sunday for the Patriots.
Right. Well, obviously, Eifert's missed three. You know, one more game, missed four. And, yeah, you just wonder how much of an impact Tyler Eifert's absence had in those games against Pittsburgh as well as Denver. And he got hurt in the Pro Bowl. I mean, that really stinks. That is really tough. That's another guy. You know, will he ever be quite the same? Only time will tell on that. But that really, really stinks for him. There's no question about it. We'll see. But I think it makes sense with them playing tomorrow night, Bri. Probably makes sense to give him at least 10 more days before he plays in a game. So, plus, if you're the Bengals, you'd like to think that you can beat the Miami Dolphins at home without Tyler Eifert. So, for a bunch of reasons, it probably makes sense for him to not play tomorrow night. In terms of Brissett and Garoppolo, neither one of them's fully healthy. We know that. But I think the Patriots are comfortable that they'll both be okay to play at a decent level, maybe with, you know, a shot of Tordal or something. I would imagine if Garoppolo can play, they'll go with him and go with Brissett as the backup, but only time will tell for that one. But both those guys beat up, I would imagine, Rex Ryan, no matter who the quarterback is, to really bring the house on Sunday to try to get to those guys. I don't want to say re-injure them, but try to take advantage of the fact that they're less than 100%. It's probably the best way to phrase that.
Ducks takes. And lastly, the Cardinals cut their rookie undrafted free agent long snapper, who had a couple of bad snaps against New England and Buffalo.
You know, Bri, these teams are always trying to figure out ways in which they can save a little bit of money, right? And where can we, you know, we got to pay this guy and that guy and Honey Badger and all these guys and Chandler Jones. Where can we save a little bit of money? The Cardinals elected to try with the long snapper, saving a decent amount of coin with him. And boy, has it backfired. You could argue it cost them the Patriots game, and it certainly hurt them in the Buffalo game. And as a result, they're going to bring in a veteran now. You know, a lot of times it works out. You go with undrafted free agent snapper or punter or kicker or whatever. Decent amount of time. But when it doesn't, boy, does it hurt. And boy, does it come back to haunt you. And it did for the Cardinals in a major way. And it's a shame for them, though understandable, that they would try to go that route. And it's really a shame for that kid because he might never get another shot again, which is a shame. But that's the reality of the NFL. A lot of times, you know, they look at it like they already gave him a second chance. He messed up against New England. They gave him a second chance. Messed up against Arizona. I mean, against Buffalo. Now you are out. Speaking of out, if you have some little puny blankets, get rid of them. I've got a much, much better, awesome NFL blanket for you guys from EliteTeam.com. Luxurious NFL. And if you're a big-time college person, college sports blankets, perfect for your man cave. I have like a home theater deal where I watch the games. I got an Eagles blanket from these guys, mainly because of living in Pennsylvania, and it looks better. The seats in the theater are black, and this thing's black and green. It is awesome. Absolutely awesome. I don't know how to describe it other than there's a lot of crappy blankets out there. Just feel these blankets. Get one, and you'll feel the difference. Plus, they're actually two blankets sewn together. So they're perfect if you ever go to games. They're perfect for if you tailgate or to wrap around your legs or sit on if you go to a game, like a college game, NFL game. These things are absolutely awesome. 100% made in the USA. You've never felt a blanket like this. Plus, just like the Arizona Cardinals trying to save money on a long snapper, I can save you guys money. I can save you 10% with the promo code Tucker. So any NFL team, all the major college teams, go to EliteTeam.com. Make sure you put that promo code Tucker in, and you'll save 10%. Trust me, you will love these. And I love that I actually have an NFL type of sponsor where you guys can get NFL gear from me today. EliteTeam.com. Use that promo code Tucker.
Ever wanted to ask an NFL player a question? Well, here's your chance. It's time to ask Ross.
Email address, ross@rostucker.com. Just send any sponsor confirmation, and I promise we will read and respond to your question right here on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, where thousands and thousands of people can hear your name and hear me answer your question. And if you ever forget the sponsors like EliteTeam.com, we always have them up for you with a link and the code over on the sponsor page at RossTucker.com. What do you got, Bri?
All right. Hey, Ross. Hey, Brian. Thanks for the $50 discount on the Casper mattress. I made a special trip to my local West Elm furniture store to test drive one in person, and I'm looking forward to having it at home. Now, getting back to football, I've been a podcast listener since the ESPN days. I really enjoyed your conversation last summer with Mark Schlereth. Listening to your stories about pain after football made me wonder whether ex-players ever consider using any performance-enhancing drugs. HGH, for example, is, quote, life-enhancing drugs to promote healing. Well, after all, once you're retired, they're really not banned anymore. And if not, what are your best healing tips? Thanks. Keep up the informative podcasts. That's Tom from San Jose.
That is a really interesting question, Tom. And a couple things I would say. First of all, you're going to love the Casper mattress. We have two. My mother-in-law and father-in-law got one. We even have friends in Harrisburg around here that use our code because they want a Casper mattress. That is a legit business that I wish I'd come up with. Anyway, in terms of your question, I have not considered it, but I have heard, I got buddies from college that live in LA, and I've heard like older people like in their 40s, 50s, 60s, that they just take HGH just to look and feel better. You know, just as sort of, like you said, a life-enhancing drug. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case with a lot of the Hollywood actors and actresses, and I'm sure that there are former players that do it, whether it's for pain or just to look and feel better, you know, to be more ripped, more cut, to feel healthier. I have not heard that specifically, but would not surprise me at all. And I don't know. I guess I'm more of a believer in not taking stuff as much as possible. So trying to work out, trying to eat right, eat healthy, trying to do the natural stuff as much as I can. But I wouldn't totally, you know, rule out at some point if I'm really struggling physically, you know, taking HGH or trying something like that. I guess I'd be kind of curious just to see how HGH makes you feel, and you know, since I work out, see if it helps you make it. You know, I don't know. I mean, it must work, right? Enough people try it or use it that it must work. That's an interesting, really, really interesting question. I like that. I never would have asked that question. I never would have talked about that on this podcast. That's why your email questions are so awesome. Ross@RossTucker.com. Please, please, please keep those coming, fellas. I love those. Love those questions like that. That'll do it for today's Wisdom Wednesday edition of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Going to record the Fantasy Feasts with Evan Silva in a little bit. So anybody that's into fantasy football even a little bit, those are really must listen. You learn, and by the way, it's so much more than just fantasy football, because you learn so much about these teams and the players and how we think the games are going to go. It's a lot more than just fantasy football if you listen to that, by the way. Other than that, somebody emailed me and said, Ross, don't just ask people to download on multiple devices. Ask them to download on multiple platforms on multiple devices. So like different apps or different web browsers. So the one guy said he downloads each podcast 4 times. He is awesome. So are most of you. And those of you that go the extra mile in some way, shape, or form, it is truly appreciated. And maybe one way you do that, just go to tuckheads.com. I'd love to talk to more of you guys. Like I'm talking to, it seems like I'm talking a lot to Betsy and Dan and Will and Jason these days. I'd love to be talking to more of you guys over at tuckheads.com. Other than that, I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Fantasy Feast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
You know what I like, Bri? I like winning. And that's one of the cool things about DraftKings.com. You don't need to come in first place to cash in. The guy that got 800 in week one's biggest fantasy football contest took home $100. 800. You can come in the top 500, don't you think? Why not? Give it a shot. Play whenever you want with the guys you want over at DraftKings.com. Pick whatever players you want each week. Even if your fantasy team's gotten off to a rough start, you can pick a whole new fantasy team this Sunday. Go to DraftKings.com and choose your players for this weekend's contest. Plus, if you enter the promo code Ross Tucker, you can play for free with your first deposit. That's promo code Ross Tucker to play for free for your share of over $1 million in total prizes. This weekend, only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details.